Part 2. You will hear part of a lesson about diamonds as part of an evening class geology course. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at Part 2.
As you may remember, last week we examined some semi-precious stones. Today we are going one step further. We'll be taking a look at an even more glamorous aspect of the subject. We'll be looking at diamonds, one of nature's true miracles. To understand what I mean by that, just ask yourself the question, how can something so amazing be made of carbon? The very same element as the graphite in your pencil is made of. Well, the answer lies in the way in which diamonds are formed. The conditions required for their formation are found from 100 to 200 kilometers below the Earth's surface. There, both the pressure and temperature are ideal for them to form into crystals. Obviously, diamonds cannot be mined at such depth. The reason why we are able to extract them is that they are carried towards the surface very quickly through volcanic activity. It is this rapid movement in volcanic rock which prevents them from turning into graphite on their upward journey. When they come to rest, all diamonds are colourless and look like uncut or frosted glass. It is only after they have been cut that these incredible stones exhibit colour. I use the word incredible because every natural diamond we take from the Earth is at least 1 billion years old. So it is easy to see where the idea that a diamond is forever comes from. Once the diamonds have reached the safety of a high security area, they go through a process that transforms them into the beautiful stones we are familiar with. Then they are evaluated by taking into account four factors: weight, colour, clarity, and cut. Of all the diamonds mined, 80% are not of sufficiently high quality to be used in jewellery. The remaining 20% eventually make their way into rings, necklaces, watches, earrings, and even teeth, as well as other accessories. The most important of the four factors obviously relates to size. People in the diamond trade use a unit called the carat. That's C-A-R-A-T. And there are 5 carats in a gram. The vast majority of diamonds weigh less than 1 carat. In fact, of all the diamonds used in jewellery, only 1 in 1,000 weighs 1 carat or more. The second factor, colour, is also important in determining the value of a diamond. Quite simply, the rarer the colour, the more valuable the diamond, provided the weight is the same. Diamonds that are either yellow or brown are most common, while blue and pink ones are the most difficult to find. The other factors, clarity and cut, are best left to the end when I show you some slides. Nowadays, high-quality diamonds are not only used as symbols of love and devotion when they are given as symbols of engagement in rings, but also as currency. Their financial worth, however, has not always been recognised. Indeed, it wasn't until 500 BC that they were recognised as valuable. Before then, in ancient times, diamonds were thought to give the wearer strength and courage. Those diamonds that are not of sufficiently high quality to be used in jewellery are utilised in industry. The property that makes them particularly useful in industrial applications is their hardness. Diamond is the hardest natural substance and therefore has a value of 10 on the MHO scale of hardness, which ranges from 1 to 10. It is this physical property that makes them particularly efficient at cutting rock, among other things. Another surprising physical property, considering what diamonds are made of, is that they burn at 700 degrees Celsius. Before we move on to the slides, I'd like to mention a place called the Crater of Diamonds State Park in Arkansas in the US. What makes this place unique is that anyone can dig for diamonds there free of charge. Since 1906, over 70,000 diamonds have been discovered there, including the giant 40-carat Uncle Sam diamond. Unfortunately, this park isn't on our list of field trip destinations. Not this year, anyway.
Now you'll hear part two again.
As you may remember, last week we examined some semi-precious stones. Today we are going one step further. We'll be taking a look at an even more glamorous aspect of the subject. We'll be looking at diamonds, one of nature's true miracles. To understand what I mean by that, just ask yourself the question: how can something so amazing be made of carbon, the very same element as the graphite in your pencil is made of? Well, the answer lies in the way in which diamonds are formed. The conditions required for their formation are found from 100 to 200 kilometers below the Earth's surface. There, both the pressure and temperature are ideal for them to form into crystals. Obviously, diamonds cannot be mined at such depths. The reason why we are able to extract them is that they are carried towards the surface very quickly through volcanic activity. It is this rapid movement in volcanic rock which prevents them from turning into graphite on their upward journey. When they come to rest, all diamonds are colourless and look like uncut or frosted glass. It is only after they have been cut that these incredible stones exhibit colour. I use the word incredible because every natural diamond we take from the earth is at least 1 billion years old. So it is easy to see where the idea that a diamond is forever comes from. Once the diamonds have reached the safety of a high security area, they go through a process that transforms them into the beautiful stones we are familiar with. Then they are evaluated by taking into account four factors: weight, colour, clarity, and cut. Of all the diamonds mined, 80% are not of sufficiently high quality to be used in jewellery. The remaining 20% eventually make their way into rings, necklaces, watches, earrings, and even teeth, as well as other accessories. The most important of the four factors obviously relates to size. People in the diamond trade use a unit called the carat, that's C-A-R-A-T, and there are 5 carats in a gram. The vast majority of diamonds weigh less than 1 carat. In fact, of all the diamonds used in jewellery, only 1 in 1,000 weighs 1 carat or more. The second factor, colour, is also important in determining the value of a diamond. Quite simply, the rarer the colour, the more valuable the diamond, provided the weight is the same. Diamonds that are either yellow or brown are most common, while blue and pink ones are the most difficult to find. The other factors, clarity and cut, are best left to the end when I show you some slides. Nowadays, high-quality diamonds are not only used as symbols of love and devotion when they are given as symbols of engagement in rings, but also as currency. Their financial worth, however, has not always been recognized. Indeed, it wasn't until 500 BC that they were recognized as valuable. Before then, in ancient times, diamonds were thought to give the wearer strength and courage. Those diamonds that are not of sufficiently high quality to be used in jewelry are utilized in industry. The property that makes them particularly useful in industrial applications is their hardness. Diamond is the hardest natural substance and therefore has a value of 10 on the MHO scale of hardness, which ranges from 1 to 10. It is this physical property that makes them particularly efficient at cutting rock, among other things. Another surprising physical property, considering what diamonds are made of, is that they burn at 700 degrees Celsius. Before we move on to the slides, I'd like to mention a place called the Crater of Diamonds State Park in Arkansas in the US. What makes this place unique is that anyone can dig for diamonds there free of charge. Since 1906, over 70,000 diamonds have been discovered there, including the giant 40-carat Uncle Sam diamond. Unfortunately, this park isn't on our list of field trip destinations, not this year anyway.
That is the end of part 2. Now turn to part 3.